Good morning. You know, isn't this another beautiful day in paradise? Now, some of you may be thinking, paradise? We're talking about paradise here. Where else would you much rather live? Well, I'd love to live here or there. Then go. But you know, for the most part, I was born and raised up on the plains, and we didn't have mountains. Well, we're plains. We had little dips. See that little hill there? Yeah, you'd be going, what? That's a hill? Yeah, that's our hill. But now, out our office at my house, I get to see the Rocky Mountains. I'm sitting there this morning and go, oh my goodness. Yeah. My cousins, they would be jealous of me now. Because we live in paradise. And actually, paradise is whatever you want to make it to be. You make it. Because God has built this earth. And the beauty therein is His. So this is paradise for me, guys. Enjoy it. So, I love how Pastor Mike's over here going, talking about his little green thing. I said, you know what, Pastor? I'm thinking back there. I said, that's good. You get to remember that because, you know what? I don't have to wear it. Awesome. One last thing I got to wear and remember. You see? I don't have to ask for it. I just say I'm happy for not having it, and everyone starts, oh, we're going to start getting. You see? I did not ask. Oh, my. Are you ready? Oh, yeah, I hope so. Pastor Mike said I can move this thing out of my way. You notice, you know, we take communion the first Sunday of every month. Well, brother, this ain't the first Sunday. I know. You want to know why? He's fixing to put some barbed wire up here. Okay, I'll stay up here. But you know, our Jesus, man, He is awesome. Okay, you expecting something else. Jesus is awesome, is He not? So let's just jump into this. We can flip up here a scripture reading. Yeah, there we go. There it is. Scripture reading today, Matthew chapter number 4, verses 12 through 25. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, He withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, He came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. And those who were sitting in the land and shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, His brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Okay. And He said to them, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, they left their nets and followed Him. Going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, His brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and He called them. Immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed Him. Jesus was going throughout all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demons, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Wow. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis in Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you just release your Holy Spirit upon us this morning, that these words of life, the words of truth, will soak down into our hearts, into our minds, that they will never leave us nor forsake us, and it will hide these words inside of us, and that we will act upon them in our lives, Heavenly Father. We just thank you, and we praise you, and we glorify you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now we see what we call the beginning of Jesus' ministry. You know, every ministry has a beginning. Some go slow, some start off with a bang, but there's always a starting place. So here's Jesus and his ministry, and the first thing we see here in verse 12, now, when Jesus heard that John had been taken into custody, he withdrew into Galilee. Okay, so to set up the background, Jesus has just gotten baptized by John the Baptist. Then he spent 40 days out in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. Now, when that is done, what did Jesus do next? That we don't know. We don't know if he hung around there and watched John the Baptist some more. We don't know. But what we do know is that when Jesus heard that John the Baptist was taken and thrown in prison, he left the area. So he goes back. So what do? I mean, think about you as a young man. If you were away from home doing whatever, and the reason that you were where you were at disappeared or was taken away, what do? Most people, they want to go back to someplace familiar, someplace that would accept them, right? So you go home. So Jesus went back to Galilee. Now, let me break this up. Galilee is like Weld County. Nazareth is like Alt. So he's coming home. Okay? I get to break this in. Not break it, just break it in. All right, so down here is where the baptism is taking place. And Jesus is from Nazareth up here. There's Galilee. It's like a county in Israel, all right? So he went home to Nazareth right up there, all right? That's where he was raised. He wasn't born there, but that's where he's raised. He learned how to do carpentry work, so he went back to Nazareth. He withdrew to Galilee. And verse 13, and leaving Nazareth, he came and settled in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, Capernaum would be like Greeley, all right? Bigger town, a lot more people there. But Capernaum, right up here, is like right along the Sea of Galilee. That's where it's at there. Now, keep that map up. Well, I don't know how you would do it. I want to read the scripture and then go back to the map here. In verse 14, actually, flip over to Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, because verse 14 or 15 here, this is where it's coming from. And I want to read this to you. Chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish. In earlier times, he, notice it's a capital H, he retreated the land of Zebulun into the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea. On the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. Woo, I'm glad this. And they shall be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Because believe me, I know how you farmers are, man. Growing up in Kansas, man, we like walking out there in that wheat field. Yeah, this is going to be a good crop. And they, farmers, get happy. I was a custom harvester for a few years. I would drive combine. And those farmers, man, they were out there. They'd stop, look in the back end of the combine, see what's in there, look into the truck, looking on the ground behind. Oh, I think you're putting one too many grains on the ground. You know, okay, so we adjust and go on. But they were happy. But here we see in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, so it breaks. And just like Weld County, is there a straight line? No. It's like these political maps, right? They go, oh, we're going to come down here, 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 here. And that's why they named both Zebulun and Naphtali, because those lines are scattered all over the place. But now, he says, by way of the sea. Capernaum's right here, and we're not talking by the Sea of Galilee, we're talking about the Mediterranean Sea. There was a major highway from here that went straight over to here. In fact, that major highway is what the Romans even used when they came down into Israel to take it over. And a lot of other, the Syrians would use that, the Ottomans and the Turks would use it. It was a major way. And Matthew knew when he's writing this, the highway to the sea, this is it right here. Because from here, everything took up into Syria, or it would start to get on the other side of Galilee, start angling down into Babylon. All these places. That was a major highway there. So here's what this term is meaning here when they say this. Now, and there's a great light. Who is the light of the world? Jesus. He's our light. So Zebulun and Naphtali, they were in northern Israel. Now tell me, based upon what we've been learning in Daniel, what was northern Israel like? Oh, come on now. I'm a teacher. I expect responses here. I start calling on people. It was what? They were wicked. Man, you mean when we study Ezekiel, man, these were some wicked people. You think it's wicked here in Ault, over in Fort Collins? They don't hold a candlestick to the wickedness that was taking place here. And the first countries or the first tribes to get run over from Sennacherib and all of them from Syria was Zebulun and Naphtali. Okay? They were wicked people. Okay? Doing wicked things. So if you're wicked people doing wicked things, you are you in the light or are you in the darkness? You're in darkness. So who did we say was the light again? Jesus is the light and the light of the world. So he is, in this prophecy, he is that light that is coming into Zebulun and Naphtali. He is the light to shine upon them. But I want to get this in verse 3 of Isaiah. flip back over here. It says in verse 3, Isaiah chapter 9, "You shall multiply the nation, you shall increase their gladness." Now, something that you might want to know, that Jesus did present us with the oil of gladness. Something to consider. I want some of you, because you want to check up on me, research it. I want you to. Let me know about the oil of gladness. "They will be glad in your presence, as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." They, at the start of Jesus' ministry, were rejoicing and were happy. How do we know that? Well, let's go back over here to Matthew chapter number 4. It actually goes down here. I'm going to skip verses and come back if you don't mind. In his public ministry, the news in verse 24, "The news about him spread throughout Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those who were suffering various diseases and pains, demonics, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. And large crowds followed him." Look, if you're operating in darkness, people don't want to follow you. This is why he's light of the world. This is what brought gladness to people. They said, "Hey, there's a preacher of truth down here. He's doing some awesome things. Guess what? Let's go down there." And they're from Syria. What? Yeah, because Syria did control a lot of this. Now, let's figure. There's a key word in here. In Galilee, the land of the what? The Gentiles. What, I thought this was supposed to be the land of the Jews. No. Because they were the northernmost tribes and they'd been run over by Syria. Guess what they ended up doing? Intermarrying. Interracial. Mixed marriages. And they mixed in, unfortunately, the gods of Syria, which led them into darkness. So our understanding here, when Jesus comes, he is that light. And light of the world to these people. And they start seeing that light. It draws them. Light does one of two things. It either draws you or you scatter. Like cockroaches. Yeah. You know cockroaches. You flip on that light and all of a sudden, shoom, they all scurry. Oh, yeah. Okay? Because they can't stand the light. When you show up to your job, Are people drawn to you, or do they scurry like cockroaches when you show up? Well, bro, I don't know. I don't think they do anything. I'm just letting you think about that. Okay, that's all this is letting you think. So now, let me get back up and get me on what I'm supposed to so I don't run out of time. So let's go back to verse 17, if you will. Now get this, from verse 17, it says, "From that time, he began to preach and say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" That is what John the Baptist was saying. Now, the interesting thing is, the kingdom of heaven hadn't showed up yet. Because Jesus is the kingdom of heaven. He hadn't died on the cross yet. We haven't got up to there. So everything he's preaching from this point on is about him and what is going to happen to him at the cross. Woo! That's the kingdom of heaven. And then his death, burial, and resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for doing that. So now I can be, I am a full-fledged member. I am a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. I am personally marked with a mark. Okay? And if any of you that have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're marked with a mark. Believe me, demons can see that mark on you. They're going, "Oh." Okay. Why? Because when you bent the knee to Jesus Christ and asked him to be your Lord and Savior, you've just entered into the kingdom. There's where your citizenship lies. I'm not going to go down this rabbit trail, but yes, I do live in America. I do love this country, but I am first and foremost a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, first. A citizen of this country, second. So if you want to know where my allegiance lies, it lies with the Father. Okay? You can get mad at me. I don't care. Now, verse 18. Now, listen to this carefully. Now, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting nets in the sea. They were fishermen. Verse 19. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, just think about that for a moment. Marvin, you do construction. You're out there, you're putting in kitchen cabinets or whatever, and somebody comes walking in there. Looks good. Hey, you, come follow me. And keeps going. Marvin's going to go, what? He's going to turn to his sons and goes, what did he just say? What if he came and talked to your sons and says, "Hey, Josh, I don't know your other son's name. Come, follow me." And they're like, "What?" Out of the blue. They wouldn't do it, would they? But John chapter number 1, verse 35. Again, the next day, John was standing, this is John the Baptist, was standing with two of his disciples. John had a handful of disciples with him. But he was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And two disciples heard him speak that, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following him. See, Jesus didn't say anything. Jesus just walked by. And here's John the Baptist. Well, there goes the Lamb of God. And guess what? These disciples are going, "Oh, whoa, wait a minute. Yeah, you said you were the forerunner for the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God. Guess what? Let's go check this guy out." And Jesus did not have to say a word. You know, and this might be hard for some of you to believe that. Do you know that people can become saved with nobody preaching to them? What? They know, everybody knows there is a God. Even the atheists know it. They just like lying to themselves, just like the devil keeps lying to himself like he's going to overcome. But no, they all know it. There's so many testimonies that have been written down by the missionaries coming out of China that people did not have the scripture. They just knew of a God. And they got on their hands and knees. "There's a God. Save me." And they knew instantly that their sins were forgiven. That weight was lifted off of them. And there was a presence, a holy presence about them. So these disciples of John realized he is the Lamb of God. They followed him. And so what did they do? Jesus turned and saw it and said to him, "What do you seek? Why are you following me?" They said to him, automatically, "Rabbi," which means teacher. They hadn't heard him. He hadn't preached to them. He hadn't said anything to them. They knew automatically, "Rabbi," which means teacher. "Where are you staying?" And Jesus said to them, "Come, and you will see." Yeah. And they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So here's Andrew finding out this is the Lamb of God. He spends the day with the Lamb of God. What do you think Andrew did? He went running back home because, you know, the next day he probably had to help Peter fish anyhow. hey, Peter, I found the Messiah. Man, I spent the day with the Messiah. Right? Oh, okay. Wow. Isn't that awesome? Mark chapter number 1, verses 14 through 20. Now, after John had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. And as he was going along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. You see, it wasn't clear out of the blue. He just didn't swing by Marvin's work site and says, Josh and his brother, hey, come follow me. Josh and his brother, Josh had already spent time, already told his brother, and he probably already would tell his dad. Because what do you do when you fish? Yeah. You're throwing the net out there. Hey, where you been the past few days? Oh, man, I was with John the Baptist and following him and what he was saying. And my goodness, I met the Messiah. What? What do you think you're doing? You got time on your hands. So you're talking. Luke chapter number 5, verses 1 through 11. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. The lake of Gennesaret is the Sea of Galilee, one and the same. Now you guys probably get that. You're probably used to calling one body of water one name and everybody else calls it something else. Just the locals have one name for it. So that is the same thing here. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake. But the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down and began teaching the people from the boat. You know, I'm going to pause right there. As I go, talking to Pastor Mike, he's putting up this imaginary barbed wire here so I can't come down. And I says, well, and we're going to find out, Jesus went in the tabernacle, he read the word, sat down, and preached the word. Now he went on a boat, sat down. So I said, Pastor, then that means I can come up here and sit down and preach. He says, yeah, sure, it says in the scriptures you can do that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's just a little rabbit, quick rabbit sidetrack. Let's get back on time. All right. And he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered and said, Master, we worked hard all night. Man, they were up all night working the center pivots, making sure everything was working right, making sure all the lights were on there, all the water was going on. Or, oh, we had to change out tubes there. And if you have the little handheld tubes, man, they're in here, man, making, that's all working. The canals are working. They were up all night doing this. They were working hard. But I will do as you say and let down the nets. And when they had done this, get this, get this. When you are faithful to what God tells you to do, guess what happens next? When they had done this, they enclosed a small quantity of fish. What? It doesn't say small. What does it say? A great. Because our God does small things, but we serve a great God. He's going to do great things. And he caused a great quantity of fish, and their nets began to what? Break. Woo! My goodness. Wouldn't you just love it to have your corn start to grow 8 foot tall and not just have one ear on them, not just two ears, but maybe 3 ears of corn on them? You're probably going, yeah, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? And they're full, man, as long as they could be fully just full, right? You would love that. And you would be blessed, would you not? But guess what he did next? So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. For they came and filled up both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. Now, guess, you want to know who the other boat was and the other people? And so also were who? James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Woo! I tell you what, I don't know about you, but in my life, when I see the work of the Holy Spirit, the hand of God, man, that knocks my body to my knees. In fact, I'm just not on my knees. I am face down. Why? Because I see the holiness of God at work. And I know I'm a sinful man. I don't deserve it. But my God sees past my sin. He sees past all the nonsense in my life and chose to bless me. Woo, doggies. Yeah, that's the God I serve. And I'm willing to humble myself and lay prostrate before the Father and thank Him for everything I get. And that's what Peter was doing. Now, and Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear. From now on, you'll be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Whew, I got 5 minutes left. Thank you, Jesus. It's better than 1 minute. Now, you understand where James and John are at in this picture. So when you're back at Matthew, and Jesus in verse 19 tells Andrew and Simon, "I will make you fishers of men." Immediately in verse 20, they left their nets and followed him because they already knew who he was. Verse 21, going on from there, he saw two other brothers mending their nets, and he called them, and immediately they left their boats and their father. We already know, I know I skipped that, but that's James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Now, for the sake of time, I can't get into all of it, but they also were not poor. They had hired servants that helped them. That's another reason Zebedee says, "You two go on. You want to go follow him? Go ahead. I know who he is from what you've told me." Also, the commentators say that there is some sort of relationship they believe. They're like second cousins twice removed or something, you know, something goofy like that, right? But they were related. So Andrew, Simon Peter, James, and John, not only were they business partners, they also had some blood relation in there. And get this, Jesus' most innermost circle of the disciples he confided in the most and more directly, Simon, James, and John. Woo. Think about that. Let that one soak in a little bit. Now let me get going here. In verse 23, Jesus was going out throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease. You know what? This is what I got to say. Carrie, it's time to shut up. Okay. All right. You heard it. So in closing, I heard a pastor once says, "Yeah, when you hear me say in closing, well, I got many closings." Make this one short and sweet because Pastor Mike will get mad at me and never let me back up here again. Okay. Now, I want you to know, there's no such things as coincidences in the kingdom. God doesn't do coincidence. The Holy Spirit does not do coincidence. Everything has a purpose. And these mighty men of valor, this was their starting point as fishermen. We could relate it to as farmers, ranchers, like most of you. They had the troubles of drought, storms. Man can't find the fish. They're supposed to be here, and they're not. Right now, we got water problems here for you farmers. And hopefully it doesn't stretch on. Like Elijah there, and they had to go to Mount Sinai and call down fire from heaven. Hopefully it doesn't get that bad. But I want you to know, God wants you to trust in Him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, with everything that is within you. He wants you to trust in Him. Because Jesus will heal you, trust in Him. You got a sickness, you got a disease, call upon the name of the Lord. He will heal you. Yes, you can call upon the elders of the church that will come, lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, and the prayer of faith shall heal you. But guess what? That's not the elders' job. Elders can't heal you. Only one can heal you. Jesus Christ. He speaks the word. That illness you've been dealing with is gone. He speaks the word. Whatever problems you have is gone. It's trust. It's faith. It's belief. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. For your word is true, your word is just, and your word never returns void. It always, 100%, accomplishes its task for its purpose it was sent out to do. And we see here that Jesus healed the heathen as well as the Jews. It made no difference to Jesus. They just brought him. The Syrians saw it and brought him. The Samaritans saw it and brought them. The Jews saw it and brought them. It made no difference. Jesus healed. They said, everyone. Lord, we thank you for that. Because you can heal us. You can heal our lands. You can heal our hearts. You can heal our minds. And I just speak healing upon each and every one of us this day as we go into communion. We just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.